live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
You know, if you're a 15-year-old man who listens to Todd Herman, and you're not getting the mRNA injections because you've studied the actuarial tables and the fatality rates and the footprint of this virus, and you just won't get the mRNA injections, well, you're just a racist. Sorry, bioreactor.
Bioreactor, yeah.
Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made, and these are the times in which God has decided we shall live. Times such as these communicate the need to act upon unique responsibilities, but also to spend time with friends, even if they will steal your Costco cherry pie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're so golden crispy on the outside.
Yeah, it's warm. It might even be uncomfortably warm. That's life. Deal with it. Shut up about it.
Halibut aren't majestic. I learned that.
Nobody is allowed to say my name.
Bungie! Oh, I am going down! The cord cut! My hands did not touch the water! I'm springing up near the bridge! Free fall again! Down near the water! I did it!
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show, my friend. Good morning, Dory Monson.
Well, you didn't tell me about the breaking news. I just heard that the segment is now called Fridays with Dory, and it's sponsored by another one of your fantastic sponsors. So I need to know, does Daddy get a little taste of that?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
I mean, I shouldn't bring that up on the air. Okay.
depends on how many cherry pies that we share. I think we both need to ask if co-daddies get a share of that one. Actually, but now we've taken our dirty laundry out to the public. So first of all, let me start with this. When you went fishing, did you actually catch that monster, or was that something along the lines of an Inslee prop? Were there maggots in it, or that was a fresh fish?
No, that was a fresh fish that I put on the smoker on Saturday night, and I tell you what, smoked it for about an hour at 175, and then cranked it up to about 350 and did about 30 minutes more. It was perfect, Todd. Had the family over, all the girls were here, crab, salmon. It was fantastic, man.
Awesome. I'm
going crabbing again tomorrow with one of my great sponsors, and I'm very excited. I have never been much of a fisherman, and I've been going out a lot lately, and it's really cool.
Good. You've been monitoring government a long time. You've played basketball against the so-called governor of Washington State, or the king of Washington State, Jay Inslee. So you've had him on your program. He won't come back anymore because, of course, you call him out in his lies. So I just had this image of a speech writing session where Inslee's going through some options saying, okay, let's try this again, governor.
Look, if you're a 50-year-old man who voted for Donald Trump, I want Antifa to beat you in the head with baseball bats.
Let's maybe wind that down a little bit. Do you know you're talking to a bioreactor right now?
Yes, I do know that. As soon as Jay Inslee told me, and I've been getting a lot of pressure to stop appearing on your show as a result of that.
Have you really? Because I'm a bioreactor?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But then I explained we're not in the same room, and I don't have to wear a hazmat suit when I do the segment. I think they were more worried for my health than their politics.
Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I sensed in that, and maybe this is just me, because he mentioned my demographic, the person for whom I voted for president, and the fact that I might be the most outspoken critic of the mRNA process and injections. I kind of want to think that that Inslee was calling a hit out on me, but that would be egotistical, I fear.
Probably. Well, I've made a call on the governor yesterday, yesterday. I have made a public request, plea, really, because as you know, we have been plagued with heroin addicts throwing rocks off of overpasses on I-5 and I-90 and alongside the freeways. They've been lobbing rocks at vehicles for about 2 months now. Yeah. And the first time it happened, 2 months ago, I said, we have to clear out the homeless encampments. And they didn't do a thing for 2 months. They let more cars get hit. They let more lives be threatened. And I'm convinced, Todd, that because I recommended cleaning out the homeless camps, they all said, if Monson says that's what we should do, let's not do it. So they just endangered a bunch of lives. But
yeah.
But it's still happening. They haven't caught all the rock throwers. So I have asked Jay Inslee to use his emergency powers as governor. I don't know if you know this, but the governor has emergency powers.
I've
to
heard.
Use his emergency powers to get some meaningful rock control legislation in our state. And what I'm recommending is that any rocks maybe over 4 millimeters, you're just not allowed to have them anymore. And we'll get a rock buyback program. I know some people are saying if you outlaw rocks, only outlaws will have rocks. But I just say it is time for Jay Inslee to stop the rock throwing on the freeways and outlaw and criminalize rock possession.
No, and I think that's good, but I think you need to also come up with some catchphrases. You know, assault rock is an easy one, but you might go with murder rock. Because a pretty small rock thrown at great velocity and accuracy, that can end in death. So I think, Jory, you might well take a lead in this if you were to go maybe try some rocks out. And I don't think, like, you have some board ops that are relatively young, and they'd recover pretty quickly because the young, they'll come back from an injury like nobody's business. So maybe you could just try tossing some rocks at the front, not at velocity. I don't want you to kill anybody,
but
to see at what point there's pain and at what point you could maybe project using, mathematics, what would be a murder rock. I think that's maybe the key to unlocking this. Are you willing to do that?
But I agree with you, and I want to assuage any fears that your audience has. No one wants to take all of your rocks away. We just need common sense rock control.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a good thing to ask. But then also, the rocks don't throw themselves. You know, there are people's hands. And if we're going to get into the control of people's bodies, Jory, it might be a good idea to start taping fingers together because we've got the mRNA push, and particularly for the kids, because, again, they can recover quickly. They can learn to operate in a world with fingers taped together. Why would we shy away? I would say this. If it saves one life. I mean, really? Right. Isn't that what we're doing? We're saving one life.
You're talking about the webbing of Washington. I'd like to see that
happen.
Wait,
you've already thought about this? You've got rocks and the webbing of Washington?
That's how quick and facile my mind is, Todd. I can come up with stuff on the fly. we do need some, cute, clever slogans. I'm sure your listeners can come up with a bunch. Let's get this done. Let's get some meaningful rock control legislation in this state, and it'll end the problem. And it would have a medical benefit as well, because I would include in the rock control legislation banning kidney stones as well.
Well, if you're going to go that far, then look, I may even be able to come back into Washington State, because right now I'm told by a sneaky little voice in the Washington State Patrol that they've got people stationed at the Idaho border, facial ID, just waiting for them to move in there because they want to seize me, right? So I'll risk coming back for that. Let's go to traffic early, guys. I want to go to traffic early because I want to have, and I asked you last time, you didn't know who did this. This is one of our mutual friends who's in radio. He would say it this way. And suddenly you're going to notice now that the tone and tenor of the program changes and shifts from friendly jocularity into a more serious tone as Dory and I take on the news of the day, including a Northwest city going full communist plus that thing that doesn't exist. And if it does, it's too complex for you to understand unless you're a grad student. Critical race theory in more schools. The seriousness now. What?
It's gone.
That's it?
It's gone.
Wow.
Such an effort to get me back on quicker.
So you have been, and we've been, I think, I was talking to Rance the other day. That's not who says change in tone and tenor. That's John Curley. But I believe that you, me, and he in this state have probably seen the coming of the symptoms of critical race theory before we started, focusing on the actual construct of it, which is just an extension of critical theory, that we've seen this coming for quite a while. And you have been particularly outspoken about the effort to radicalize our children. And that
absolutely.
I think it became a theme of your show, I think about 2 years ago, a strong theme that, guys, They intend to completely radicalize our children. And you uncovered something about the Bellevue Public Schools, which is east of Seattle and not yet completely communized.
Yeah, so this is an example. You know, I had Chris Richtal on my show 2 weeks ago, and I know that you and he are good friends, the superintendent of public instruction in our state. And he denies that there's critical race theory in the schools, which is just ludicrous. But I have in front of me, Todd, some four tweets from the Bellevue Teachers Union, the Bellevue Education Association. And listen to how they identify the four quotes that they tweeted out, who said them. The first person said, "Moving forward as a community looks like being inclusive and equitable to those that have diverse identities." And who said that? What's her name? Oh, you don't have names anymore. That was said by female Latina educator. Another quote, "In order for our community to heal, we need to share the pain, to be honest about blah, 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 blah." That was said by white special education teacher.
No.
And all the quotes that they send out, there are no people anymore, no individuals. And that's what critical race theory is all about. It's about eliminating individuality, identifying people only by the color of their skin.
Stop that, guys.
Well, and the freeways are fine. In order, here's another quote. "In order for our community to heal," oh no, I already read that one to you. But yeah, here's another one. Another quote from "Something I'm looking forward to is working collaboratively with my department." That was said by white female middle school educator. So they've eliminated the names of the teachers, and they just put in their gender and their skin color or their race as the identifiers. That is critical race theory. That is eliminating individuality. We want to stamp down anybody who dares stray from the sheeple. And everyone now is going to be identified only by their skin color. That is dangerous. It's damning. And it's as racist as things can get. And that's what's happening throughout schools in our entire state here.
We had yesterday a gentleman on our program who has started a website and I hope a movement to confront critical race theories in the school, critical race theory. It's called Chalkboard Heresy. And he's a teacher in good standing for now, but I think his career is over. And he joined us yesterday, and he did the coolest thing as a teacher now speaking out. He's been in rooms where people have said, you know, teachers have said, we need to have a more diverse workforce. We need to make sure that we have, you know, teachers of color and gay teachers and men who think they're women teaching. We need to have all these things. You know what he said, and I love this, is he said, "You go first. Resign."
Sure.
Resign. And he had people like look at him and say, "Well, I can't resign. Wait, why can't you resign?"
Right.
Right. I tell you, Dory, that we need to move into these school board meetings and go straight into any white educator that is going to market this stuff. We need to go to the school board meetings and demand resignations. And I'm telling you, like you just revealed this, go to the Bellevue school board meetings and say, "Yes, to the white lady in the center of the chair, you white lady, resign."
Right. Yeah.
And over here to black man, power to you. Take her seat.
Right,
right. Don't you think that would be the way to confront this is to make them live by the rules? It's Frank McCormick at Chalkboard Heresy. Don't you think that's an effective tactic?
I have been saying for a long time that if people are asking, what can we do about this? You always talk about the problems. What are the solutions? The solutions are to get involved, to be on your local school board, run for school board, and make sure that we have common sense people who want to educate kids. I know that's a radical idea, that kids should just be educated at school. Let them do all the social justice stuff at their home, at their any place they want to be in the community, outside of school hours. But we're turning our schools into, aren't they like bioreactor facilities now? But we're just telling our kids, we're just brainwashing them more than we are enriching and enhancing their brains.
Well, shifting gears into, you mentioned bioreactors and kids. We're back to this.
You know, you can't tell a parent what to do. And if a school doesn't want to put in the mask, a parent's in a really tight bind. I really feel for those parents who want to protect their children, yet a governor of a state says you can't do that if you want to. We're not going to have masks in our schools, say some governors. Well, that is equivalent to saying we would like your children to get infected. It's a very poor move.
That's from MSNBC. We would like your children to get infected. By the way, did you read the part about where Ron DeSantis said kids can't wear masks?
Of course not. I skipped.
No. Yeah. This and Dory, we're back to this, and I had to ask you about this. I wanted to ask you about this. This city that's gone full communism.
Yeah,
the NFL is now saying, and Dory was the pregame host on radio for years, decades. Did a brilliant job. It was that show was so entertaining. It was so well listened to. Sponsors loved it. It was big and broad reach, and man, it was huge. And so you know the NFL. Yeah. Are you telling me that these people are now saying if a unvaccinated player spreads the COVID, he can be fined, he can be suspended, fined, a team can forfeit. But, Dory, what about the people who've had the mRNA injections and spread the COVID? They're free and clear? What is this?
No, that doesn't happen. The vaccination gives you 100% shield unless you're a Democrat in Texas.
Right.
You have a slight chance of being a super spreader, even if you've been vaccinated, flying around maskless on a plane with a case of Miller Lite. Yeah.
Yes. Or an Olympic gymnast or a Major League Baseball team.
Right.
Or a professional golfer or anybody else. But it seems to be just this march into authoritarianism, which leads us to this topic. That's what we call a transition.
Oh, that was sweet.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful city. North of Seattle, on the train line, on the beach, great restaurants, really cool little town called Edmonds that has decided to sign its own death warrant. So how are they doing that?
Edmonds has been going woke for the last couple of years now, and I do not understand why. It is. It's a beautiful little seaside town. I know a lot of people who live there and have lived there. And they made an announcement this week. The city of Edmonds has established a new online portal to report incidents of bias, discrimination, and hate. And then they say, any issues that are criminal in nature, you should still call 911. But if you have another incident of bias, discrimination, and hate that is not criminal, call the city hotline. And this was this new reporting tool was recommended by the Edmonds Diversity Commission. So they want neighbors to start snitching on neighbors. But what it's doing is it's compiling a public database of people who have hurt other people's feelings. It's not about criminality. It's about, and then since this is a public record, anybody can access it with a public disclosure request, and then they can start witch hunts against people who don't think the way they should.
Wow.
And this is what happens, and I know it sounds like hyperbole. It is not. This is what happens in communist countries. This is what they do in Cuba and in Venezuela. They have hotlines where people can rat out their neighbors. And I had one really good question from a guy who runs a business in Edmonds. And he said to me, I hate the sidewalk outside of my neighborhood. It's in disrepair. It displays bias by hampering my ability to walk on it. Should I report myself for hating the sidewalk or report the sidewalk for being biased against people who prefer walking over driving in a car? I need help. What should I do? And I say both. Report yourself for hate. Report the sidewalk for bias. And I actually mean this. I think that everybody in Edmonds should swap this online portal.
Absolutely.
If you're at breakfast and you say, I hate my eggs over easy, report yourself for hate. If somebody says, I hate that seagull just took a poop on me, report the seagull for hate and bias and discrimination. Flood it. Fill it up. Let them sift through thousands and thousands of messages, and because they say that everything they receive on the snitch line will be referred to the appropriate city department.
Incredible. Okay, we're going to get this address, and we'll get it from you. Dory's show will be on later. It's noon to 3, Cairo Radio, and there's an excellent app that almost always... Well, I mean, but there's a lot of ways to listen to Dory's show.
Yes.
So, noon to 3, and now we've gone long. But, hey, look, more traffic music. I Dory told me he had a big story coming up. I'm going to trust that's true. We have to go to traffic. Dory, thank you, and go with God's good grace.
You got it, Todd. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise. And drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
You can also email us, therman@ktth.com. We'll get to the text messages. First of all, I do want you to, if you're on the podcast, just ever so slightly just turn up the volume slightly because you're probably wearing earbuds or, you know what? I hate earbuds. Can I just tell you that real quick? Can I tell you why? You know what never happened to me with the good old-fashioned wired headphones? Is I never showed up at the gym and my wired headphones said, yeah, we're not interested in conveying music to you today. But these earbuds from time to time will not pair with my phone. Yeah, not today, Chief. I know you created a playlist for today's workout, but nope, not doing it. In any case, you're probably wearing earbuds, so to turn up the radio. No, it's not a radio. Turn up the pod. Yeah, you're going to want to hear this loud and clear. This here is some fun. So one of my friends on Fascist Book posted, or I guess Fauchist Book, after the Fauch. That's you don't know what you're talking about. I do. They posted the meme where Joe Stalin says, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. You know that meme. Facebook purports to fact check this in defense of Joe Stalin, who starved millions of people to death, who beat to death and poisoned members of his own cabinet. Fact check, purported Stalin quotes about counting votes was not about general elections. What? Oh, it's not about general elections. Well, then Stalin is an okay dude. Then it's okay to cheat the vote when you're simply seizing control of the original Communist Party in Russia so you can starve to death people in the Ukraine, because why waste bullets when you can steal their grain? Thank you, Fascist Book. I think you mean Fauci Book, Fauchist. Yes, Tony, thank you for clarifying that. Very important. You're welcome.
We need to get Tony Fauci in people's ears. Mark, you're going to see a repeated lockdown unless you let Tony Fauci enter your ear with his advice.
Mitch McPharma, ladies and gentlemen, Mitch McPharma. To the text messages we go from Jonathan. That's a very peaceful name. And it's like an ordinary name. It's not a nickname. I don't mean to say ordinary in the sense that you're an ordinary person. You're very unique, but Jonathan. Morning, Todd. Have you thought about writing a book on the China flu? You've amassed quite a bit of knowledge on the subject, and I, for one, would find a book of that nature worth my time. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. I have thought about that. But what I would want to say, I wouldn't want to put in the hands of a publisher, and the book I'm writing, it will include the COVID. But I'm really, 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 really very concerned beyond the COVID with what is the demonstrable media participation in this swindle and deception. That's where I'm focused, is the media deception. Because I want to be on record when this thing falls apart, and it will, when the turn comes to full tyranny, not just the pending tyranny, I want to be on record of having pointed out to people in the media, you did this. you welcomed this, and I want to have on record the names of people who did that. This is a nickname, but it's interesting. Still Ellipses, S-T-I-L, Ellipses. Morning, Todd. Epic Times reported on AFDL's lawsuit seeking an injunction against the jabs. Please keep us updated as you have more resources and wider reach. Yes. Okay. So this is the group, it's America's Frontline Doctors, heroic people who went to Washington, D.C. and said, hey, you know, hydroxychloroquine's working for us. A group of discredited doctors known for killing people with chants has gone against the words of the nation's foremost expert on infectious diseases, Tony Fauci. That's Fauci with an E. Yeah, they're suing to stop the use of the mRNA injections on the basis that, number one, there is no emergency. Correct. There hasn't been. Number two, that these things are demonstrably harmful for some segments of society, and the ROI is upside down. There are people who are better off not getting the injections, including young people, kids and people, men, 15 through 22. Yep, that lawsuit's going on. We'll talk about that in detail next week. Tin Bender. Todd, there are state laws and federal laws that discourage and punish drug companies from making false or misleading statements about their products. I wonder when our state AG's office will file lawsuits against those using vaccine in lieu of gene therapy. Tin Bender, great name. And I think you're being rhetorical. I think you know that he, Sideshow Bob, is a good party member. He's going to pretend that these things are, in fact, vaccines. And there are good listeners to the program who want to say they're vaccines, not gene therapy. But we're watching, folks. We're watching. We're watching. There's a guy who's a socialite who got the mRNA injections and then in like 4 days gave 60 people the COVID flu. He didn't feel it. He didn't feel that he had the virus, because it just does away with the symptoms. It doesn't do away with the actual disease. Arizona Matt. Hey, Todd and Alex, the liberal Democrats, as we all know, project their motives and decisive views out there to their opponents. From their racist views expressed in CRT to the abuse of fascism demonstrated in the peaceful protests of BLM and Antifa, the projection to be so frustrating is that Republicans are accepting is the insurrection of January 6th. How you can tell this is a projection is that they're following to a T Mao's phases of insurrection. Keyword, insurrection. They repeat it and amplify it. We need to elect Republicans that can call the Democrats out for what they're doing. If we do not, we'll become a country that decays like a Halloween pumpkin. That's a well-written note, and you're right. There were insurrections all around the country. D.C. was not one. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I was chatting with a friend of mine yesterday and happened to notice that she had walked into the gym holding her daughter's hand. And I just remarked to her that made me so happy to see you still doing that. And I happen to know that she's a person who's married to a gentleman who served our country in combat situations. And I've seen him come in and carry his children, his son, and hold that same little girl's hand. And I admire that both for different reasons. One is just the mom-daughter relationship is no more sacred than the daughter-father relationship. It's different people, different reasons. It's, I think, an amazing thing to watch a man who spent his career as warrior in the most serious and significant sense of that word. And I don't have permission to talk about the specifics. I will just tell you in the most serious and specific, most serious and hardcore meaning of that word, shift into gentle, loving dad who holds hands with his children. And my friend is a gentle person, and so a little bit different, but just to see it just warmed my heart. And so there are times, and I do remember, when my daughter became reluctant to hold my hand and then eventually just told me, I think I asked her, are you too old for this now? And she said, yeah, I think I am. And that was a sad day and a happy day. It's melancholic that your children reach that age. There's something about us that makes that sort of like intimacy hard. Do you remember? It's different, I think, for boys and girls. Like, try to figure out how to hold a girl's hand. Do you remember that when you were a kid? Do you remember that? I mean, it's in a way, it's like, okay, yeah, you're trying to lean in and get a kiss, and that seemed really advanced when you were a kid. But like, what, do you bump a hand? Do you like, oh, sorry, I bumped your hand. Maybe we should hold hands. And you dance with someone at a school dance. It's like, okay, so I touched you, but now do I get to hold your hand? You know, the Beatles, John and Paul wrote the song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I'm sure it meant more than that and less. But somehow with family members, sometimes that stops. You know, my wife and I were at church the other day, and she accuses me of not knowing how to sway to music. Now, it's one thing to be dancing and want to be on beat, but for me, swaying, I shouldn't need to be really specifically on tempo. I'm just swaying. So I had my arm around my wife and held hands, and I started to think, what? Maybe we don't do this enough. There's a connection that you get when you touch a person. You know, there's the tradition of shaking hands, which some have said is a way of checking for weapons. I'm not armed, are you? Taking the measure of a man. There's still men who, they shake hands, you can still, they're still taking your measure. Like, hey, I've got a strong grip. Well, me too. I can pull you towards me. I can pull back. Right? We know that tradition. There's something other, like, have you ever held a stranger's hand? I have. Told you the story about that very intense landing. Two attempts, one landing in Seattle where we were fishtailing and the wings were going up and down. The airplane was fishtailing and we had turbulence and we were in a snowstorm and it was our third pass. And the pilot had said, we either land here or we switch airports. So we're going to be serious about this landing. And I was seated next to this woman. And of course, this couldn't happen today because she's black and therefore I'm evil. She was so scared that she reached out for my hand. And I held her hand. And it was a different feeling. It wasn't a, ooh, I'm holding some strange lady's hand. And, ooh, I'm thinking of adultery. I mean, she was a pretty lady, but it was, no, I'm holding the hand of a scared human being. What is it? What? How did that help? It's an interesting thing. How did that help her? Could she feel that my heart rate was not as high or as choppy as hers? Because she was freaked. I could feel the pulse of her blood. She was freaked. And maybe she could feel mine. And maybe I was not as freaked. Maybe she could feel the electrical impulses, the synapses that I was like, we're going to be okay. I've made these landings before. And when we landed, like, when do you let go? I figured I'd let go when the plane stopped jetting because they put the engines in reverse. We slammed to the runway because that pilot wanted out of that air. He threw the engines into reverse and then when he released them, I let go of her hand. We never spoke of that. There's a thing about holding the hand of a stranger that I was visiting my father in the hospital. There was a woman in the hallway who called me by a name. I don't remember the name, but she was clearly in advanced state of dementia. And she smiled. she thought she recognized me. And so do I want to be right or do I want to convey mercy? Do I want accuracy or kindness? And so I held her hand. And that was a different feeling. She had a really cold hand, very smooth. A lot of people, when they're dying, get smooth hands. The body's drying up. Made a decision. And I've told my daughter that one of the things I hope to have happen on the day I die is that she's there to hold my hand, and she said that she would. I'm going to try something this weekend. It's my sister's birthday coming up a couple weeks from now. This weekend, we're going to get together. I'm going to drive my mom there. We'll see what happens if I reach out and try to hold my mom's hand. I'm going to do that while she's still alive and alert. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. live on the Pacific Coast on podcasts everywhere. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.